to ensure that their mobile phone are turned off and switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I'd remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then need to be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion of that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the IM feature so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Apologies this evening from Councillor Sharvin and Trainer. And have we any other apologies? Okay, and we're going then to item two on this evening's agenda is the declarations of interest. Have we any declarations of interest? No? Okay, going to move on then to item three. And just under the chairperson's remarks, could I congratulate the Celtic boys down Patrick winning the Bobby Dalziel Cup against Arglass on St Patrick's Day. And could I also pay a tribute and congratulate everybody who took part in both St Patrick's Day parade in Downpatrick and in Newry. They were absolutely excellent and enjoyed by all. It's very welcome to see people out and about again right across our district, and the weather was very kind to us. Also then, well done to the organisers and runners of the Jimmy's 10K as well. Can I also just, Michael, maybe address just that the strike action by Unite, which started today, can I ask, is this having an effect on any of the AHC business taking place at all?
Thank you, Chair. Members will probably be aware there's a strike by Unite due to their dispute over the National Pay Award this year. It's not something that the Council itself can directly affect, but it is having some effect. It's one trade union, so it's Unite the Union, having an impact in Downpatrick in particular. So Down Leisure Centre and the Ballymote Centre are going to experience some temporary closures of some facilities over the coming week of the strike action. So today, for example, that affected the main pool and the gym for a number of hours this morning. It's anticipated that will continue over the coming week. So pool, sometimes the leisure pool, sometimes the larger pool, depending on the cover we can get. There's some minimal disruption again expected in Newry Leisure Centre, again probably around the pool. That's the area where we have obviously the most issues in terms of minimum staffing requirements and safety and so on. And we will have some limited closure of Ballymote Centre. What I can say, Chair, is this is a changing feast at the minute, so we're trying to bring staff in to cover extra shifts. We're trying to bring them in to do additional overtime and so on to try and cover these gaps. That's not necessarily always easy. So at this point, we're expecting some disruption, but we're trying to keep that to a minimum. Members will be contacted directly via our app and social media channels, and any block bookings or any groups that are affected will be contacted directly as well. I will try to keep members up to date over the week as the closures happen, but as you'll appreciate, sometimes this happens at very short notice, depending on who doesn't turn in for a shift, depending on whether they're on strike or not. So we're trying to keep it to a minimum. It's not going to result in wholesale closures. it's having a minimal impact in the community centres as well, but there's no major closures that I'm aware of in the community centres at this point.
Okay, thank you for that. The action sheet then, on item three, for our committee this evening, have we any issues? Councillor Lewis.
No, yes, I also was not. Sorry. Yeah, Chair, it's not only action sheet, but just with your indulgence, I would like to add on to the action sheet that there's 115,000 outstanding to spend to upgrade the football pitch on the old Belfast Road there at Dundrum, but I'm told that it can't actually be spent until some flood work is done, just to see what the level of risk is there. So would it be possible to get that added onto the action sheet to ensure just that we're keeping on top of that, as it was raised last year, I believe around January time, just.
Councillor Lewis, we can't add to the action sheet tonight, but I'm going to ask our director, Michael Lipsett, to come in just on this item for you, and we'll work from there, okay?
Chair, while the action sheet refers to actions arising out of the committee meeting, given the fact that this wasn't originally on the action sheet, I don't believe we can add it to it, but I can resolve that matter for you by doing two things. First of all, I will make sure I get back to you tomorrow with an update on where we are with the flood risk assessments and so on. And secondly, I can ensure we bring a report to the next AHC committee. It will be on the action sheet then thereafter. Is that okay?
Happy with that result, Councillor Lewis?
Yes, I'm Deirdre. Thanks very much for that.
Councillor Brown, you have a question then, but you don't actually sit in this committee. But I'll bring in.
Yes, thank you very much for that, Chair. I was just looking at an update on an action sheet item that I brought a notice of motion on. It's the accessibility on two beaches in the district. I was just looking for an update and a bit of clarity on that, Chair. It seems to have taken a very long time to move forward. It's about a year since, about 9 months since I first brought that motion along with Councillor Lewis. And I can see from the action sheet, it says that the SLA is to be completed in May and June, and I just wanted a bit of clarity around what exactly that means. Does that mean that the feasibility study into accessibility on the beaches will be completed by May, June, or that the SLA will be issued by May, June? If it's the latter, what is the current deadline that officers have in mind for delivery of the actual feasibility study? When do officers see that being completed? I'm also not convinced that it is ready to be taken off the action sheet, given the lack of progress to date. And councillors would be well aware this is something that we've been asking for quite some time. I'm not the first councillor to bring it. So just a bit concerned that that is moving forward very quickly.
Thanks, Councillor Brown, for that. Michael?
Thank you, Chair. Members will be aware that it was agreed that we would add the this feasibility study to the Outdoor Recreation NI's SLA for next year. Outdoor Recreation NI have already visited most of the beaches in the district and have already started to work on that. But the councillor is correct. The SLA will be approved by this committee in May. We might be able to get it to next month's committee meeting, and if we can, we'll do that. It was raised, I believe, at the council meeting that I should ask Outdoor Recreation NI if they could start working that immediately, and I've done that. So my understanding is that they are starting to work, even though it won't be part of their SLA until next year. As part of the report that comes back to this committee, we'll set out a timeline for the delivery of that feasibility study. But the advantage in using outdoor recreation NI is that they are aware of the beaches, they're aware of the issues, and they're also in constant contact with the key stakeholders in terms of taking that work forward.
Thank you, Michael. Moving on then. Sorry, Councillor Lewis, have you another question?
Sorry, yes. It was just to seek an update on the work that's ongoing with the defibrillators, and my colleague Councillor Taylor has asked that I seek just clarity around that. Around, was there not to be a fund set up so that groups could apply for to get access to the defibs, as opposed to just the council checking have they got them or training them up in them. He thinks that the original motion which was brought spoke about starting up like an access fund.
Owen, would you be able to address that for us? Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I see that is the last point in the notice of motion, yeah, to liaise with the Heart Foundation regarding funding towards defibs with potential grant stream. There hasn't been any progress on that part of it as yet, but we can report back to the committee next month.
Happy enough, Councillor Lewis?
Yes, I'm.
Thank you. Going to move on then to... Sorry, yeah, we need a proposer and seconder then for this evening's action sheet.
Yeah, so have an awesome conclusion.
Thank you. And Councillor McAvoy, you're on the wee chat here, a second, okay? Moving on then, is item four on our agenda is the peace local action plan. Janine?
Yes, Chair. Peace for action plan is a report of the recommendations ratified at the partnership meeting on March the 3rd of this year. So we're seeking approval for the actions relating to building positive relations and children and young people. Is it, Chair?
I'm happy to propose that. Can we have a seconder, please? Councillor Murray, thank you very much. Item 5 then is the Peace Plus Partnership. That's back to you, Janine.
Yes, Chair, members, as you're aware, Council has agreed to establish a local Peace Plus partnership. This partnership will align with the current community planning structures that are currently operational in Council, but will still require the development of a dedicated partnership body. So members are asked tonight to consider proposals in the report for the makeup of that grouping, specifically 9 elected members, 5 statutory partners and 11 social partners. This reflects the current guidelines issued by SEUPB and the approach of other councils. We will also be taking this report to party reps for additional consideration and discussion with members. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Janine. Councillor Murray, thank you for your proposal and Councillor Gallagher for second. And Councillor Murray, you want to make a wee comment?
Yeah, just Janine, thanks for joining. I got a good look through that today. And I suppose the makeup of it, I suppose we're unique in our council in some regards that maybe when we're forming working groups, to hunt probably isn't the best way to go to make sure it's well represented of all councillors. And there's a mention in it of the equality and good relations forum or something along those lines, and just try and make it, keep it open to as many stakeholders as possible. But we can certainly discuss it at, you said at party reps, maybe even equality and good relations or so, any of those that's representative, we can have a conversation about it, but it should be trying to get people into it, not keeping people out of it. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments, Councillor Murray. I've no else indicating, so I'm going to move on then to the financial assistance, which is item 6. Janine, it's back to you.
Yes, Chair, members, this is the most recent update on financial assistance call 1, which has just closed. That is the biggest call of the year. It incorporates both capital and revenue themes. The main issue arising is the usual issue, and that's that sports capital is hugely oversubscribed. The report includes a proposal, therefore, to allocate a further just over £60,000 from a decommissioned project to the original total the council has provided for that fund. We will also, as usual, undertake a mid-year budget review, and if we can identify any underspend, then if committee are agreeable, we would allocate that to projects that have been deemed successful in that round. That's it, Chair. I'm happy to take any questions on any of the things.
Jane, could you give the committee an indication just how much it would be for the funding that would be needed for all of those that applied? Because I've noted here myself that there's only 4 out of the 13th that's passed all the stages. Could you just give us a guidance then on much funding this would need for the fund all groups?
Chair, with the original allocation plus the 60k added, we would have still a substantial shortfall of £531,000 approximately, so £500,000 shortfall. This was the case last year as well, and members will recall that we were able to plug that shortfall with COVID recovery funding, but it seems to be on a consistent basis that financial assistance every year is oversubscribed, particularly in sports capital.
Thank you for that, Janine. Aoife, you were in with a proposal, but you changed to a wee question, so I'm going to allow you to come in first because you were in first.
Thanks. I actually was supposed to do Q instead of P, but anyway, yeah, look, you kind of covered what I was going to say. The sports development minor capital and the sports facility capital are obviously there's people have been awarded and have not received any money. So I'm just wondering, Janine, is there any potential for external funding streams to cover that? I know that's a substantial amount of money. I'm just wondering, is there any potential?
Through the chair, we will explore that. It's unusual, and I know last year with the COVID recovery funding, that was a unique scenario, and we can't see that a repeat of that this year. But we'll commit to looking at external funds and maybe discuss with funders the potential, maybe sports NI or some of the funders that would be sympathetic to the theme of sport. We'll look into that.
Thank you for that. Councillor Tinley?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. And let me start by thanking Janine and her team for all the work they've done there in relation to these grants. But a few things jumped out at me there, Kiarn. So it was the high level of failure for some of the groups with regards to their applications. The three that jumped out at me was community capital, the community events and festivals, and the community summer scheme. Now, for some of those groups, Kiarn, it'll mean the difference between the events proceeding and not proceeding. So I know council do put on pre-application events to try and educate people and cajole them into ticking the right boxes with regards to their application. But I'd just like to hear Janine's comment on the high failure rate for some of those particular themes. And is there anything else that we can do? Because at the end of the day, we should be doing all we can to make sure that applications or a success. Thanks, Kieran.
Yes, Chair. This year, out of all years, was probably the year that we put most energy into running the online tutorials. The Chair of Council actually ran a virtual event that was really well attended, and other funders came in on that event, and we had such a huge attendance from the community. So it's very hard to determine why groups are having a high failure rate. We, as I say, we've run the highest profile virtual tutorials online. We've agreed also to roll out further tutorials and guidance and assistance with Call 2, which we don't normally do on any given year. The groups, we encourage also to always come back for feedback We are here as a programmes unit to tell groups where they've fallen down in their application so that they don't repeat the same mistakes in years, in upcoming years, because we know it's disappointing for groups to have gone through the process. So the only thing we can do is encourage them to come back, find out where their application has fallen down, and make sure a stronger application appears in the next financial year.
Happy enough, Jarrett?
Well, just, Karen, if you just allow me to come back there. I suppose, Janine, this is really one that sticks in my craw. When I see some of the inadvertent waste and money being paid out in other branches of council, and £500 or £1,000 to some of these groups is the be all and end all, and it just frustrates me. Like, is there a possibility sometimes that we set the bar too high? Is the application process for some of them, particularly the smaller applications with regard monetary terms, is that application too onerous?
We're through the chair, as a unit, we're always reevaluating that. So in terms of community capital, for example, we have identified the high failure rate of the larger 100k grants. And it's a consistent thing. So what we have initiated is that as part of the community facility strategy, the consultant is doing the rounds of the DEA forums at the minute to look into the definition that we have set as a council in relation to a community hub. And so they're asking councillors and members of those DEA forums, has this definition that we have applied acted as a barrier to groups being eligible to apply for the bigger funds? So we're trying to always reevaluate and assess what the issues are in relation to any financial assistance call. It's not easy sometimes when you're a heavily audited unit to try and make the applications easy or not challenging. It's a competitive process and it's public funds. So we are quite rigid in the application of the financial assistance policy. But again, I'll make a commitment to go back with the unit staff and have a look at those things that are consistently high failure rates and see if we can come up with anything creative.
Thank you, Janine, for that. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, I hadn't really intended speaking on this, but I suppose just like most other councillors, someone asked how much extra would you need to fulfil the applications of the unsuccessful. I don't think £1 million would cover it in terms of community capital and sports capital and all of that. And it's not that we're setting the bar too high or the council is setting the bar too high, the programmes unit is setting the bar too high. There's community groups and sports groups who are employing professional form fillers to come in and to fill the forms for them. And the forms are flawless. So somebody who could fill a form out for a sports club in South Down in year one could come and fill it out for a sports club in South Armagh in year two. And it's the standard of application is so high. It's not that the programmes unit's setting it so high. It's so competitive that it's almost impossible. And you find many smaller sports clubs and community groups around and about the districts are finding it increasingly difficult to get their hands on some of this money. And but it is what it is. And there's no way around. And in fairness to the council and in fairness to the programmes unit, you know, it's all written out. This is what you have to do. This is do this, and this, and you may be successful. And it's every year. We had this last year. We had it the year before. We had it when Liz Kimmins was the chair of AHC as well. That it was how do we help the groups that were unsuccessful. It's just, you know, maybe it's when we're looking at the rates process at the end of each year, we need to be having this conversation instead of realising it when it's too late. But to say, look, if we want to spend more money on this financial call, well, then we need to put more money towards it. But, yeah, should I?
Yeah, point well made, Councillor Murray. And I think that there's there's still going to be 9 groups very disappointed that they didn't reach this funding. And we have to remember as well that in all of our clubs, most of it's run by volunteers, and they make a massive effort to come in. And there's always a hole for the money to be spent, let me tell you, and much needed. So there's still 8 or 9 clubs there, or groups that's going to be extremely disappointed. But to gather 531,000, I mean, it shows you how popular it is and it's needed there. Just one other further comment on this from myself would be, you mentioned that there was COVID funding last year, like you said, 60,000 from memory. Is there any coming from this year? Because, like, obviously COVID's still about, and in fact, there's quite a new lot of new groups developing from COVID and coming out of COVID. I was wondering, is there any more recovery money in the pipeline?
Chair, we're not anticipating any more revenue in from DSC. We meet on a monthly basis through the Community Coordination Hub with DSC, and as part of that working group, we monitor the distribution of the funding that is already allocated. We could go back, there's a meeting of this Community Coordination Hub on Wednesday, and we could go back and ask DSC directly, would they have anything in the pipeline in terms of plugging this gap, this funding shortfall?
Yeah, that would be good. So the worst that they can say is back to us is no, isn't it? Like, you know, it's probably worth asking the question, particularly in the timings of it when monies have to be spent before the end of March, and a lot of departments as well. It's worth asking as well. Sure. Going to move on, councillors, to item 7 then on tonight's agenda, the forums update report. Janine, that's over to you again. I need a proposer and a seconder. Jumping on. Got a proposer and a seconder then for item 6. I'm happy to propose. Anybody coming in a second? Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for that. So item 7 then is our DEA. Councillor Casey.
Your DEA, can you hear me okay, Chair? It's the Greater Armagh Road Men's Shed has approached Newry City Councillors with a view to hiring or leasing a piece of land at the Drumgullion Play Area, with a review to repurposing for a men's shed or allotments. Can you tell me where that sits at the moment? Has the group been in contact with the council, or have council been in contact with the group?
Janine?
Yes, through the chair, we have asked our outdoor leisure officer to make contact with the group to progress this expression of interest. So I will go and seek out that officer and get an update and come back to you, if that's okay.
Sorry, thanks, Janine.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. Councillor O'Murray.
Yeah. Janine, you'll remember a couple of months ago I raised the issue that the Sligo Gullion DEA report wasn't making it onto the agenda of AHC, and we actually changed the date of the meetings to give everyone more opportunity or more time to get the reports in. Look, I looked through the agenda and this one in particular, and I still can't find the minutes of our DEA forum meeting. It's almost a month from we've had it. I can't understand why it's not on it. But could you follow up and see, is there any difficulty in why those minutes aren't getting across to you or across in time?
Absolutely, through the chair, and apologies, because we did reset the meeting schedule so that the choreography would be that the reports would be in a timely manner presented to AHC. So I'm not sure what the issue has been, but I will definitely follow it up.
And it's not for any other reason other than when the DEA forum is meeting and some of the very important things that are discussed, you'd like to see them going forward to AHC, that either other councillors get a flavour for what's going on in each DEA, or something could be furthered and enhanced through AHC. So it's just to make sure that we're having every opportunity. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I have a proposer and a seconder? And there's no other councillors indicated for the item 7. Thank you, Councillor Councillor McAvoy, yeah. And Councillor Gallagher for second. Thank you. Going to move on then to item 8 on tonight's agenda, which is the Community Coordination Hub. Janine?
Yes, Chair. This is our monthly report, again, asking members to approve the recommendations arising from the meeting on the 23rd of February. The main points to draw your attention to is the reallocation of administrative costs to meet food, utilities and fuel needs in the community and additional funding to be allocated to the Family Hardship Fund. We're looking at approval for the recommendations contained within the sheet. Thank you.
Can we have a proposal and second then on item 8, please? Thank you, Councillor Murray. The seconder. Thank you. Councillor McAvoy, Councillor Hart's in the chamber, so just beat the two of there with their indication, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, that's
fine. Item 9 then, is the Sustainability and Climate Change Forum. Owen, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This is the report we table each quarter. So it's to note the report from the Sustainability and Climate Change Forum, which took place on the 17th of February, and it's just to approve any of the actions in the action sheet.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray, you have a question in?
No, just happy to propose, Chair, and just again to thank Mr. Devlin on the four actioned points or points to be actioned there regarding the Rights in Nature motion that was proposed by Councillor Gibbons and seconded by myself. So thank you very much again. It was quite a conducive meeting and did well to sort of work through the best way to address the motion and address the points, and hopefully moving on, there's some real good points there that can be taken forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for your comments, and thanks Councillor O'Murray for seconding that. Before we take items 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14, are councillors happy enough if I take items 16 and 17 that are for note and just need a proposer and seconder for that this evening, and then we can move into committee for the rest of the agenda? Thank you, Councillor Gallagher and Councillor Murray for proposing and seconding and for the noting of item 16 and 17. So moving on, councillors, then items 10 to 14 or 15, sorry, are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. Can I have a proposer and seconder to go into committee, please? Thank you, Councillor Lewis and McAvoy. Can you indicate then when everybody's left? Thanks. Sorry for the delay there, and we were trying to give the press an opportunity to come back in. I think we've got nearly 5 minutes there from the received email tonight, so I don't think we get as long as councillors, but anyway, there you go. So item 10, the following was agreed whilst in closed session. Item 10, the ban road, Castlewell and Wrexham of ball stop fencing. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, second by Councillor McMurray, to approve an overspend of Council's existing revenue budget within the 2021-2022 financial year for the value as listed within the report in order to erect a new ball stop fence at the rear of Pitch 2 on the Ban Road playing fields in Castlewell. Item 11, the Mullabon Community Centre roof update. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, second by Councillor Finnegan, that Mullabon Community Centre remains closed for the foreseeable future, or until the roof repair works are completed as the building is a health and safety risk and is currently not fit for purpose. Council gave the landlord a reasonable time frame of 12 weeks to complete the structural repairs, and in the event that this is not to be compiled with the with that, Council take action to terminate the lease. Item 12, the Anna Long Tennis Club lease. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, second by Councillor Finnegan, to renew the lease on the lands marked in red on the map attached here to the representative church body for a term of 15 years, subject to the representative church body's consent The rent payable under the existing lease is £1,400 per annum. Item 13, the leasing of council land expressed of interest, Listrum Liska Recreation Area in Glen Hill, Muir, and a section of land at Lands Park Recreation Area, Muir Bridge. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McKevitt, second by Councillor Casey, to approve expression of interest for leasing of the Glen Hill, Muir, and a section of ground at Lands Park, Muir Bridge, is processed in the line with Council Sports and Community Facility Management and Leasing Policy 2016, and in the interim allow both parties to enter into a licence agreement to place storage containers on both sites. Item 14, the Castle Park seasonal operatives. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, to continue to appoint off preferred bidder for seasonal operations at Castle Park for 2022-2023 financial year. Item 15, the scheme of delegation scheduled September 2021 to March 2022. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, to note the report and the attachments. Councillor, that concludes this evening's AHC committee. I'm going to thank you all for attending virtually and here in the chamber this evening, and wish you all a safe journey home and a lovely evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Chair.